Today on VFN TV, what does it mean prophetically for the FBI director being fired by the president? Also, the Turkish president. Prophetically, we talked about this and we're seeing it take place. Is he setting himself up as the head of the new caliphate as he puts threats out towards the Temple Mount in Jerusalem? Greg Laurie gets invited to the White House for dinner when he goes for the National Day of Prayer, and he gives us a bird's eye view. Also, our unofficial field reporter in Israel is going to do some street interviews. It's going to just shock you right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
What Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence, and God put a mercy visit. Instead, he put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no. There's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well, and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It got repaired as soon as I
took the... Within 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their home. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. in 1955. He told the world, we are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, your host, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. What a shocking event. I think this is the only second time it's happened in American history. The president fires the leader, Jim Comey, over the FBI. But what's taking place? As a matter of fact, let's go there now and take a look at this.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Dana Perino, and this is The Five. A stunning announcement from the White House today. President Trump fires FBI Director James Comey. It's only the second time in history that a president has fired the head of the bureau. Comey was in Los Angeles at the time. He was supposed to attend an event tonight, but boarded a flight moments ago. The White House says that Comey was dismissed over these comments he made last year about the Hillary Clinton email investigation.
I have not coordinated this statement or reviewed it in any way with the Department of Justice or any other part of the government. They do not know what I'm about to say. Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
What does this news mean prophetically? What does it mean? Remember, if you've been watching us, the Lord told me specifically that the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. He told Cindy Jacobs in a vision that the swamp is going to be drained, which means people that had the stronghold in the way things have been going, God wants to shift it in a different direction. And he also said that he's going to be sending, the next president is going to be like a bulldozer. It's going to, and Washington, D.C. is going to be like a house of cards, and it's all going to be shifting, and a supernatural wind is going to be blowing across D.C., taking down all the strongholds and the monuments, all these different words that we shared. But I'm shocked. I mean, I'm shocked to find out, you know, that it is Comey, the head of the FBI, that is being removed, got removed immediately, couldn't even go back to his office, reports are, had to go immediately home, and they're putting in a new person that's going to be over the Federal Bureau of Investigations. And that's what the FBI does. They investigate things. They don't prosecute things. The who prosecute things, that would be the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and he would prosecute that before court. But he was almost, it seemed like he was every one of those offices when he was talking in the last year or so. But so think about it. So you had the head of the FBI has been taken down. Then you say, my goodness, you had Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. You think this balanced person that's talking. But what happened? He got removed. And God told us specifically the anchors, news anchors are going to be replaced. And God's going to be going to raise up news anchors to be able to deliver a prophetic news insight that's taking place. News before the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. And we're watching these things take place, and it's just breathtaking to watch it, because you wouldn't think, you know, that you think of Jim Comey as a very respectful man of integrity, but it looks like God's shifting there. Bill O'Reilly was probably the most balanced person on Fox News, but yet he's out. And we're watching other news anchors shift and come down, and also watching the minimization of the voice of media, where people don't trust media anymore. And it's like, what's God doing? God has said, he said, the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. He says that judgment is going to come on the evildoer, whether you believe it or not. And as soon as it does, provision is going to come. I mean, great provision is going to come in this. So it's to believe God and to move forward and love folks and stand up. When you see people standing up for what's right, standing up for the Constitution, standing up for God, don't sit silently back. Stand up in a loving way and say, that's right. As a matter of fact, we're going to have that today, today's program with either today or our next program tomorrow with Betsy DeVos, head of the Education Department, with President Trump. Free choice for education. Can you imagine that? Where you could send your kids to a Christian school, you could send your kids to a different school, and they just dedicate the money that's already allocated for your child to you, and you actually pay that money to that school, even if you want to homeschool. These are exciting days. Everything that we prayed about is coming to pass. Listen, we got a bird's eye view of what took place in the White House on the National Day of Prayer. Greg Laurie got invited into the White House for a dinner right before that. So when we get back from this break, you're going to get a bird's eye view of what took place in the White House. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store, you can go to Google Play Store, or your Windows Store, and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is exciting. In a moment, we're going to be able to take you to the White House where Greg Laurie, not a bird's eye view, as John's saying, but like an inside view
look,
of the White
House.
The inside look of the White House. But this is exciting days, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's exciting to see these things come to pass. And, you know, quite often we can take it for granted. Like, it wasn't this way.
No.
It wasn't this way. As a matter of fact, when we do hear Greg Laurie, Greg's talking about 8 years it did not happen in the White House.
In the White House.
Right, but now.
Prayer, yes. Not happening in the White House. You believe it?
Yeah, it's happening now. But first, we want to go to Erdogan. You know, I don't know if you know this, but the president of of Turkey. His name is Erdogan. And prophetically, we were saying ahead of time on VFN TV about, yeah, this guy's setting himself up for a new caliphate.
Oh, yeah.
And if you know the history of that area, they were. You know, Turkey was a primary core part of that. But they just voted by like 52% of their population, voted him in with all these huge powers. Then now he's able to do things that, you know.
Well, he had some help. I mean, he helped himself last year with the Knight of Long Knives.
Yes.
There was an attempted coup on his
Which was
coup.
was a farce, you know, purportedly a farce. And it was bad. Remember that?
It was very bad.
On the street.
Oh, yeah. And so now he's reelected.
Right. And he mysteriously came up in the basement with one news camera on him, acting like he was hiding out and stuff. I mean, how'd you get a news camera?
Yeah.
And he talked his way through. I mean, it was Night of Long Nights when you think about it, just like it was for Hitler and Germany and that type of thing. And a caliphate is an Islamic government where Islam is a mixture of religion and
politics.
And politics and government, and it's all about, it's a political religion.
Yeah.
And it sees itself as to be over everything.
World domination, really.
World domination. And so you're looking at, you know, this man and our previous president,
Obama.
Obama, yeah, I remember Obama. He gave Erdogan the iron, what's it called, the iron missile defense?
It's like a shield, right?
The iron shield, so that they could be protected from any attacks coming toward Turkey. And now we're looking at, you're seeing Erdogan here, but they're reporting, it's called the Iron Dome. That's what it's called, the Iron Dome.
Israel has the Iron Dome, I believe.
No, but they gave it to Turkey.
Hmm.
They gave it to Turkey as well, and so we'll verify that. But they have a missile defense system to be able to protect their nation, and as they're rising up to potentially be, it looks like a caliphate. Well, he is standing up now. Of all the things, now that he just voted himself into power, basically, and got everybody to buy into it, he is setting us up as an enemy of God, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, an enemy of Jerusalem. And this is the reunification moment where we're celebrating 50 years since 1967 war, where Jerusalem's been a part of, it's where it's supposed to be. And he's telling everybody to flood the Temple Mount. You know, you see the Dome of the Rock, you probably can see it right here. You see that is the temple foundation where God's presence came and dwelt. And at the very top right there, you see that gold dome, that is a Islamic mosque. And that's where they've taken over that land, and they're claiming it to be theirs. And he's saying to have Muslims just flood that place. At the 50th year anniversary of Jerusalem being unification of Jerusalem coming into Israel when they're celebrating.
Yeah, reportedly that mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, is actually built on top of the Holies of Holies.
Yeah.
And, reportedly when, at the end of the Six-Day War, when they retook Jerusalem, the one report was that the IDF soldiers wanted to take over the
Israeli defense soldiers. Yeah.
Correct. They wanted to take over the mosque. They actually stuck an Israeli flag, reports are, and the general said, pull that down. We're not going to do that.
Right.
If the Israelites, the Jews, wanted to take over the mosque, they could have done
that.
They
took over Jordan, and
they could have easily taken. But they said, we don't want to do that. We don't want to stir anything up. And so they've always been
for peace.
Yes,
they're for peace and for everybody to be peacefully practice their faith. But now you're talking about here. They're celebrating 50 years. Think about it, 50 years they're celebrating of Jerusalem having to take Jerusalem because it was prophetically in God's calendar, but also they were attacked and had to take it. Because anything past 1967 borders prior to that, they couldn't defend it. It's undefensible borders. There's no way to defend themselves. That's why you hear people say, we need to go back. Well, you hear the enemies of Israel say, we need to go back to the 1967 borders. That's just another way of saying, we take them there, then we take them out, and we push them into the sea. And they're not going
to
give it up.
It's another way of saying, we should go back to the place you were before we just decided to beat you up. Let's just go back to that place. You know?
Right, and it's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, so he's talking about flooding the Temple Mount right here, flooding it with Muslims on the day that the Jews are celebrating the unification of Jerusalem coming in part of Israel. What does this article say now?
It says, Turkish President Erdogan called on Arabs to ascend the Temple Mount in droves to protect the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Which is that dome thing you're looking at.
Right. He also warned that against Israeli attempts to Judaize Jerusalem.
He's like, they're going to Judaize it. They're Jews.
Hello.
It's theirs. You know, it's like, that. He's talking about, he literally.
It's a false narrative.
What's a racist narrative?
Yeah.
It's a racist, it's racism towards Jews.
Yep.
They call it anti-Semitism, but a lot of people don't think about that as
they
racism.
Don't connect it, correct.
It's racism towards Jews. And so he's saying, we don't want that race being here. And it's like, it's theirs.
They belong there.
It's theirs.
Yeah.
Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem. Okay, go on.
This is at the International Forum on the Al-Quds. Monday, Erdogan told participants that every day under Israeli occupation is an insult to Muslims. Muslims refer to Jerusalem as Al-Quds.
This is important because, understand, he just lifted himself up to a place of potentially being a dictator, on his way to being a dictator in Turkey, to Islam being the primary religion of Turkey, trying to press that in, which was part of that was a free place, that you could be any faith in Turkey. If you were in Jerusalem for a period of time, you would go to Turkey to renew your passport to be able to come back in again. That's how free it was at that time. But now, I mean, we saw, I mean, our former president, President Obama, said that this is one of his best friends was Erdogan, and he was promoting this whole narrative, and now he was escalated to this place, and what he comes right after Jerusalem, and he comes, he says, it's an insult to all Muslims everywhere. This is what this president of Turkey is saying, for the Jews to be able to have their own land. So this
nonsense.
Stuff about how many people, John, though, are trying to sympathize with people that are hating people,
they're
filled with anger and rage.
It happens all the time. And I believe later in this article, he talks about, you know, that Israel's trying to practice apartheid and part of the BDS movement, the boycott, divest, sanction movement. It's all
about ridiculous, which is the opposite. Matter of fact, I hope we're going to get today to the interviews from the street of what's really taking place in Israel. Let's move on. What's this article say?
It says, we as Muslims should be visiting Al-Quds or Jerusalem more often, he said. Each day that Jerusalem is under occupation is an insult to us. He didn't stop there.
It's not an occupation, by the way.
Yeah, it's theirs. He likened Israel's treatment of Arabs to South Africa under apartheid. He announced that the Knesset's pending legislation aimed at lowering loudspeakers from the mosque as an infringement on Muslims' religious freedom, saying he would not allow it.
And if you've ever been to Israel, it's like, can
and
you
I
turn
have,
that
yes.
thing down?
Please,
I mean,
turn
you're going
it down.
There, you're going to go, this is where Jesus walked. This is where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's you hear, wah!
Yeah, please turn it
they're
down.
They're so loud.
It is loud.
You can't even think, and that's what they want. It just shows you, like, if it's true, then why do you have to be so manipulating? Why do you have to be so loud? Why do you have to constantly repeat things? Because truth doesn't need those things. Truth is truth.
And spiritually, you're talking about what's being broadcast over the air.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like
5 times a day. The call to prayer 5 times a day. Okay.
He also warned President Trump not to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
But that's about to happen.
It's about to happen. And
he's prophesying. He has no idea that he's prophesying.
I just don't think the President of Turkey should be advising the President of the United States or warning the President of the United States on what he should be doing. But
I don't think our President's that worried about
that. I don't think he is either.
But he's speaking to a billion potential Muslims that are listening to him during this time, especially if they pushed out a false narrative of what they call a false caliphate that looks real bad, then all of a sudden he comes in with this nice caliphate and people say, that's the right one. Because there are people who are looking, if they're Islamic, they're looking for the caliphate at some
point. Because ISIS is trying to push one out of the caliphate as well.
Exactly.
But they're doing it, trying to, you know, blatantly
they're doing it exactly like the Quran says, do it, you know, okay.
So Erdogan told Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Rami Hamdallah that Muslims must unite to protect Israeli attempts to Judaize Jerusalem. Israeli President Rivlin responded to Erdogan's remarks during a meeting in Jerusalem with Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and he said that under Israeli sovereignty, we will continue to build Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the Jewish people.
Look at this. The mayor also said, he said, the connection of the Jewish people with Jerusalem dates back more than 3,000 years, which is before Islam was even created, you know, when you think about it. And he said, Jerusalem is and will remain our eternal united capital forever. I mean, prophetically, once he's established, it's not going to go away. I mean, God is going to keep it there.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is the 50-year celebration that's coming up with the reunification of Jerusalem, and even invited Erdogan to come on down and take a look at it, you know?
I don't think that's going to happen.
No. But I know this. I know that the biggest thing that they're saying in this article and what we prophesied about, Gary Lane is saying in the CBN article, is that the Turkish president may now view himself as a chosen successor of the revived Ottoman Empire, the Sultan of the new Islamic Caliphate. And if you look back to World War I, that was all Islamic Caliphate. It was everywhere. But they lost, they picked the wrong side. They picked the losing side during World War I, so they had to give up their land. And that's where you had Jordan got cut off and created, and you had Iraq got created, and Turkey got created, and so they started cutting up the land. And we did a program on that, just kind of explaining it. And so they're wanting to get that back. When you hear things like ISIL and the Levant and things of that nature, they're
that's
talking
about.
That's
what the Yale stands for, and the ISIL, the Levant.
Yeah, Levant, which is Jerusalem's part of that, and their ideas and their concepts.
And our president really was, previous administration was actually prophesying by continuing to call them ISIL because they were in the process of trying to get the Levant. So they were ISIS, not ISIL, but he wanted to continue to. Yeah, he wanted to continue to say that.
Well, our unofficial street reporter in Jerusalem kind of gives you the upbeat of what's taking place right there. This is Hanan Nafatali, and he is interviewing, asking right up front, folks, you know, the Arabs, the Jews, and asking them questions on the street. And what is the mindset of the people that are on those shops that are right there all the time? What are they thinking about this violence that's taking place? Like the Erdogan saying, you know, swamp the Temple Mount,
swarm it, yeah.
Swarm it, or they're teaching children to stab Jews and they're saying the Jews are evil and they take our land. And these are grown folks now. So Hanan Nafatali is interviewing them on the street, just asking them the question. Listen to what they say and how he's able to compare it to what really is. And it's like, this is in their heart to do. Let's join him now in Israel.
Okay, so I'm in the most conflicted city in Israel and probably in the world too. I'm in Jerusalem. Okay, so this is the plan. I'm going to the Christian and the Muslim quarter, going to ask Palestinians questions that no one has ever asked them before. By the way, they have no clue that I'm a pro-Israel activist or that I'm Jewish. I'm nervous. Let's see how it goes.
No? So you don't believe in peace?
No, peace.
Peace. Nice to meet you, Noor. So how do you think that we can solve the Middle East conflict? How Jews and Palestinians can live peacefully together?
In my opinion, they can't.
What's the problem? What is the problem in the Palestinian side, if I'm asking you as a Palestinian?
They hate Jews.
They hate Jews?
Yeah.
They must love each other and have a peace and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal savior. We must have love. If we have love, everything will be stopped.
That Jews and Arabs could live like brothers?
This could be not.
No?
Because they have, from their heart, they have hate for them. They don't have a clean heart.
Jews or Arabs?
Jew.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Actually, to live together, I think, is impossible. I'm a Muslim, and my religion, okay, means this is our land, okay, and we are occupied with it from Israelis. So they have to give us our freedom and just to leave this country because it's not their land.
What is your opinion on that?
Well, you know, we are a human and should be respecting each other. The same way we should accept Christians, we should accept Jew, you know, everybody. But unfortunately, Jews, they are raising their children to hate people, to hate Palestinian.
Let me make a quick comment on that. I'm Jewish, but I was raised to respect Palestinians and to love every human being. And even more than that, as a combat medic in the IDF, I treated Palestinians because I was taught to value human life, no matter what.
The rabbis, which is the religion people in their side, you know.
You're still not saying what is your opinion on this particular video. Let's just move on.
No, 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 no.
لهون لهون لا 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 لا
وانا سلاحة
لا لا هون
سلاحة انا سلاحة مخبي لاسرائيل ديري بالك اسرائيل ديري بالك.
What do you think about that she pulled the knife out of her purse on TV like promoting hate towards Israelis?
Yes. She do that because they killed her son.
We were living, my father, grandfathers, living with the Jews here in peaceful. You ask the old Jews how they were living with the Arabs before. They were living in a good situation and in safe, more safe than Europe.
Living in good conditions? Well, I don't want to talk too much about the history before 1948, but the Palestinians were not loving.
No way to make a peace with them, you know, it's very hard. They don't need a peace, you know. Mm-hmm. They need just fighting something. They need all the land. You know, because it's our land. You know, it wasn't before Israel, yes? You know that? It wasn't before Israel. It was all Palestine, one land. And they make it half-half, you know, Israel and Palestine. And they want to come to Jerusalem, you know, this is a holy place for us, you know, because, you know, the Dam of the Rock, the Aqsa Mosque or something. That's why we make a fight, you know, this is something for us. It's below to us, not below to them. And they saying it's below to them. There's no way to make a peace here in Jerusalem.
Yeah. Okay, so after watching and editing all the interviews, I want to say this one thing. I did not give them a stage on my channel because I want to promote their opinions. I gave them a stage because I want you to see how many of them are brainwashed. Of course, not all of them. Some say that they love Jews and they want peace. Those brainwashed Palestinians that I have interviewed, they are not the only ones to have these kind of opinions. Most people around the world have similar opinions against Israel and against Jews. Therefore, it is so important that you join us and share the truth about Israel on social media. And also, I want to thank you so much for all your support and love for Israel. This is so, so important and helpful for the state of Israel. So, I salute you. Remain in God. Love you.
That's Nafatali. That's an unofficial reporter,
yes.
Messianic Jewish on the field reporter as he's going out and asking the questions.
Yes.
And if you've been to Israel, you go through the Arab quarters, you go through the Christian quarters, and those are the ones he's talking to. Yeah. So people buy souvenirs from these guys and they're saying, listen, I think that it's okay for her to pull a knife out of her bra and try to stab someone because
crazy.
Yeah, we own the it doesn't even faze them that this kind of violence is going on. At the same time, you have Erdogan, the president of Turkey, who looks like he's positioning himself for a caliphate would be the enemy of anybody who's not Islamic, unless you want to be a servant and a slave and pay jizya tax to the caliphate. And so I just appreciate Nafatali being our unofficial reporter of being what's taking place right now in Jerusalem, because he was part of the IDF soldier and he helped and he can't understand why there's so much hate. And we love Israel. You know, we love Jesus, just like Nafatali, and we want to support him, and we're going to have him on quite often about keeping us updated. Make sure you catch us our next program. He's going to give a specific viewpoint of what happened when Abbas was speaking at the White House and what he was talking about, and he's going to compare the two and give us a little contrast, and he does a real good job at that. But listen, we have an offer for you. You know, it's our partners that help keep us on the air, and this is an amazing revelation right here. It's called a radical shift from darkness to life. And you think about it, I mean, God can just, even though you see somebody that's walking in this dark path, God can change that instantly. He can change it instantly. And what we find out here is a story about Zacchaeus. He was a corrupt government official. And think about how many corrupt government officials there are. And a lot of people are just criticizing him instead of saying, we could pray for them. Because this one, his life got turned around and he made everything right. In one moment of time, shifted everything, and God knew his name, wanted to be in his house, and he said, come on in, I'll do anything you want. It was amazing. We want to send this to you for your gift of any amounts whatsoever. Here's the details.
Offer 2032, a radical shift from darkness to life, being open to the Lord's invitation to join you in your home. Discover the goodness of God, how you are on his mind, and how he has plans and a desire to be invited in your home. In this message, we'll discover a corrupted governmental leader who had gained his riches from extorting the people that he was supposed to serve. Through all the evil that he was doing, he still had an interest in this man, Jesus. You're going to be so encouraged as you find how the Lord already knew him, how he had planned to stay at his house that day, and how this corrupted governmental leader welcomed Jesus into his house. It was a moment that would change his life forever. When you hear this message, if you haven't yet, or at one time you did invite the Lord in your home, but since that time the welcome sign has been taken down, you'll once again be encouraged to welcome the Lord into your home. Offer 2032, a radical shift from darkness to life, being open to the Lord's invitation to join you in your home. We want to send you this offer to you for your gift of any amount. You can partner now by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's Offer 2032, a radical shift from darkness to life, being open to the Lord's invitation to join you in your home.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I was speaking with a lady at my job. I work in the family court, domestic relations, and I was encouraging her with scripture because she was a little down and depressed about her situation. It was reported to the man that I work for, who is a judge. He spoke with me and said that I cannot do that in the court building because of the church and state issues.
Well, yeah, I hate to disagree with a judge, but, you know, oftentimes we do, and with all respect, the judge doesn't understand that when you go to work, your First Amendment rights go with you. You can't be actively, quote, proselytizing, but you certainly, in a conversation with another employee, can have a discussion about your faith, or if she's facing a serious problem and needs some spiritual encouragement, you should be able to do that. But again, I point to the fact, who's going to decide your case? A federal judge, if it ever went to court somewhere. And that's why we need the right judges to not be confused about church-state separation.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
The word today is humility. Jim Ellison from Norcross, Georgia. Jim's a senior pastor, sent it in. And one of the quotes I love about humility is that people that are humble, they don't think less of themselves. They just think of themselves less. And in other words, their life is not preoccupied with them. You and I both know people that truly they feel that they are the center of the universe, and so therefore everything that they think and say and talk about and do has them at the core, and so therefore it's all about them. In fact, I had a friend like that one time who came up to me and said, John, we were talking quite a while, and he was talking about himself constantly. And he said, look, I've talked enough about myself. Here, you talk about me for a while. Well, this is not what we're looking for. We're looking for a person who is focused on others. You cannot be full of yourself and focused on others. Humility means you have a lot less fullness of yourself, so that you can focus on the other person, their needs, their journey, their life. If you want to be a leader and you want to attract people, you attract them not by talking about who you are and what you've done, but who they are and what they can do. That is humility.
We're so excited about the marriage encounter. So many people are complaining about what marriage has turned into. A lot of people are not even going to be married anymore, and people are giving up on it. You don't have to. Listen, God's plan is marriage. And at the marriage encounter with VFN, we want to bless you. The VFN Kingdom business, we're focusing on you, your family, and your marriage. It's called Love and Respect. We have a special thing for you, an entire weekend. It's going to bless your family. It's going to give you tools to be able to relate. And let me tell you something. Once we understand each other, we can relate to each other. And we're going to leave with tools that are going to empower you. As a matter of fact, here's Emerson now with Love and Respect.
Hi, I'm Emerson Eggerich, founder and president of Love and Respect Ministries. What is the love and respect message? Well, the University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years and discovered that the key to a successful relationship is love and respect. What I found interesting is that the Bible said that 2,000 years ago in Ephesians 5:33, that a husband must love and a wife must respect. It's gender specific. I always insert, we all need love and respect equally. Women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T and men need L-O-V-E. But there's a felt need that differs in conflict between men and women. We've asked 7,000 people this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel in love at that moment or disrespected? 83% of the men said they feel disrespected. 72% of the women say they feel unloved. And here's what happens. It kind of gets crazy because she's not trying to be disrespectful. He filters it through that grid, though. When she feels unloved, she reacts in a negative way, which ends up feeling disrespectful to him. She's not trying to be disrespectful, but he feels disrespected. And then when he reacts in a negative way, he's not trying to be unloving, but she feels unloved. And so you have this confusion, and it results in a crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, and this baby spins. Again, we all need love and respect equally, but the felt need often leads to the crazy cycle. Can you relate to that? And how to get on what we call the energizing cycle. In fact, it applies to parent-child. It applies to all relationships, whether you're a male or female, wherever you're at, in the work arena or elsewhere.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet signed up, you know somebody that needs to sign up, or maybe you need to sign up for the Marriage Encounter. This is a limited space. It's going to bless your heart. It's going to change your paradigm. And if you don't invest in something, you can't expect a return. And a lot of people are giving up on what God has ordained. And if we want to, we can't be critical of where marriage is unless we invest in it. And we need to invest in our own and kind of be that example. Sign up for it. It's at VFNTV.com under events.
Listen, space is limited, right?
It's very limited, but we want to be able to bless you with that. And so there will be an offering taken up there, but just come and we'll take care of you. Not a bird's eye view.
Right,
but
not a bird's eye.
In the house.
Inside view. Look. Right. Behind the scenes. That's
right,
what it is.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
So Greg Laurie took us in behind the scenes because he went for the National Day of Prayer. He was invited to go there. And the president invited them to dinner into the White House. And you got a chance to walk around. I'm not going to say much about it. I'm going to let Greg take you on the tour of what takes place. I mean, everything's changing in Washington, D.C. Take a look.
I had a very exciting time last week going to our nation's capital and visiting the White House. So that was a lot of fun. So I have a few pictures I brought back, you know. So here's the White House from the outside, very familiar sight. We've all seen it from the outside. I'm inside the White House here. This is my friend, Pastor Jack Graham. He did a beautiful prayer the next day, the National Day of Prayer, Thursday, in the Rose Garden. Jack really is the guy who invited me to come to Texas for Harvest America at the AT&T Stadium. He's a good friend, so there he is. And this is the Faith Advisory Board. There's about 40 of us that have the privilege of serving and being able to pray for and offer advice to the president and the administration. This is a funny picture because we all just grabbed this, but look at how our ties are like the colors of the rainbow. I put this on social media and someone asked, did you guys coordinate this ahead of time? Yes, no, we did not. Dr. Dobson, are you going yellow today? No. So there's Dr. Dobson on the right. Jack Graham next to him, Ronnie Floyd, and then me. So you got blue, pink, green, and yellow. How do you like that? That's inside the White House. This was a beautiful string section from the Marine Corps that was playing when you walked in. Any Marines out there? Yeah, these guys are good too. Go back. Go back to the photo. Yeah, thank you. So they were playing, and I wouldn't be so, you know, presumptuous as to ask them to stop and pose, but one of the White House aides said, would you like to get a photo with them? I said, well, sure. And so they all stopped and smiled. It was very nice. So, and they're incredible musicians. Okay, next shot. This is Rince Priebus, who is the chief of staff. And I talked to him, and he told me he listens to our radio program all the time. That was kind of surprising to me. So, and here's some more of the guys from the advisory board that were there for the meeting. And I think this may be the last shot. Let's go to the next one. And there's the Capitol building. Beautiful shot from a distance. Okay, so here's what happened. I was asked to be in this board, right? I told you about this before, and I didn't know what it would entail or when we would meet. Well, finally, we got a notice, and it was like about not even a week out. You're invited to the National Day of Prayer at the White House. Well, listen, the National Day of Prayer has not been observed in the White House for 8 years. Okay, this is important. Now, let me explain. President Obama did issue a decree telling Americans to observe it, but there was nothing in the White House. There was before, but there wasn't for 8 years, and it was back in the White House again, so of course, I wanted to go to that. And then I got another notice right on the heels of it. You're invited to have dinner with the president on Wednesday night. So I said, yes? Okay. So we got there, and it was very exciting. I didn't know what it was going to be, but you know, you go through all the security, obviously. And then you finally get into the grounds. And once you're in, you're in, you know. And so we're standing there in the White House. And they take us into this small little dining room. And there are little tables. We would sit, maybe seven of us at a table. And each table had a member of the administration with us. Now, Jack Graham and Franklin Graham, they got the president. But I didn't do bad. I sat with the vice president and his wife. And so, and by the way, Vice President Pence, very nice man, strong believer, as you've heard. And Dr. Dobson was there as well, and some others, James Robinson. And so then the president got up and spoke to us for a while. And then we heard from a few others. The vice president spoke as well. And then Stephen Curtis Chapman was there. And he's saying, and I had the best seat. He literally was right in front of me. So I just turned my seat around and pulled my iPhone out and filmed it. And if you want to see it, it's all on my social media. Go to my Facebook page, my Instagram page. I put his whole song up there, and it was fantastic. And then, it's kind of wrapping up, and we're told the president might have to leave after a few minutes. He ends up hanging out with us for like 3 hours. It just went on and on. I think he was having a good time. So then we're done with dinner. And by the way, the meal was fantastic. My wife said, what did you eat? Okay. So we had a wonderful salad to start. I'm forgetting what kind. I think it was a shrimp salad, a little bit of steak, small little steak, vegetables, a dessert, sort of a chocolate mousse thing. I don't know if you care, but some people ask me this. So, but it was a great meal. And so we're all done, and then the president stands up and says, okay, would any of you like to go see the Lincoln bedroom? We're like, what? Yes. So I think this is outside of protocol, because normally people are not taken up to the second floor where the family has their private quarters. So there's like, he's leading us, telling us about the paintings on the wall, and we're 40 of us are going up the stairs. We were reduced to being like little children. We're just like, all of us were excited, of course, and we're walking down the hallway, and there's portraits of presidents and first ladies, and then we go into the Lincoln bedroom, and there's this large bed. I'm not sure if the president ever slept there, President Lincoln, but it was, and then there's a desk, and this is where President Lincoln wrote the Gettysburg Address. Like, what, you know? And then there's a portrait of him on the wall, and President Trump said, that was President Lincoln's favorite portrait of himself. Then we're all just standing there, just taking it in. He says, it's cool, huh? We're all like, yeah, it's totally cool. So then we came back downstairs, and the little Marine Corps string section was playing still. Oh, one other thing. We went out on the Truman balcony, and you can see the Washington Monument. Beautiful night. And the president's taking selfies with people. I mean, this was like crazy. It was, and I talked to a few that had been there before. Dr. Dobson's been to the White House a number of times. He knew President Reagan pretty well. And he said, I've never seen anything like this before. You know, so even he was amazed. So that was just a fantastic night. The next day, we're in the Rose Garden. Stephen Curtis Chapman sings again. He's saying the Lord's Prayer. That's posted on my social media if you want to see it. And then Pastor Jack prayed, others prayed. It was just an amazing time.
That's so exciting, seeing an inside view of what's taking place. And you think about it, for eight years, President Obama did not have that in the White House. But there was Ishtar dinners.
Oh, yes.
For Islam. And there was the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, coming in part of the even Homeland Security Advisory, which is the antithesis of Christianity, you know, because Christianity says Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When you see Naftali in Israel, our unofficial field reporter, he's a believer in the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's a Messianic Jew. He loves Jesus. He loves Israel. He loves his fellow Jews. He's Jewish. And so this is a big deal. I mean, the fact that they're inviting, you know, Christianity, and I can't wait. We're going to still do it, even though it's not Easter. We're going to bring you Easter from the White House. It was like Disneyland is Easter in regards to all this cabinet officials sitting down reading books to children, and they're hiding eggs. The whole White House lawn was just covered with the celebration.
Beautiful.
It was very beautiful. It was like it was picture perfect, the way that Easter used to be, you know, with families and all that. And so that was in the White House. I mean, God saw the White House celebrating His Son's resurrection day.
I don't think in all history of American politics and presidency, there's ever been that many Christians inside the personal residence of the president.
You remember,
you know, there's prayer there. You know, there had to be prayer.
Well, you remember the Lord told me in October 3rd, 2016. He told me before that whoever the president was going to be, it was going to be a friend of the church and friend of Christians. But in October 30, he told me it's going to be President Donald Trump. He's going to be the president. And what he showed me with him being president was that he was going to invite everybody into the White House. It's the people's house. So the place was just packed out with every person, citizen you could imagine. I was shocked about
every background, right?
Yeah, everybody was coming in, and it was just so welcome. And he's like your uncle or something. Say, come on in, take a look at this. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's been so long since normal's been around. It's like we're just grateful, you know, for normal. And we got some more information for you right after this break. Join us. Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever
and ever.
Amen.
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 Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Exciting program that we're having here, you know, when God said the seed of evil was going to come down, the seed of the righteous is going to rise, it didn't There was nothing in the headlines. There was nothing you could see.
On the horizon.
Horizon.
Right?
And then we're seeing things shift. I mean, we saw the elections take place in November. We saw, you know, I mean, things, news anchors get pulled out of their seats. We're watching Bill O'Reilly get removed from Fox News. And then we're watching Jim Comey, the leader of the FBI, the director of FBI, get suddenly just replaced. And it's like, but God said he was going to begin to replace basically Cindy Jacobs literally saw a vision where God's going to drain the swamp. He's literally, and it's not calling people evil. There's political strongholds that have held our country in a place and they're just okay with it. And God's not okay with it because look where that brought us. It brought us to the point where you don't have prayer in school. You have people pushing God out of the square. You have people taking down the Ten Commandments. And we had that on the program where they're coming in at midnight, right?
Oh, yeah.
In Oklahoma, I believe it was.
Alabama.
Alabama and Oklahoma in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's right, Oklahoma, yeah.
And they did it with a crane in the middle of the night to take down the Ten Commandments. Well, now you have a president and a government that's saying, we want to put it all back up. That's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting. Yeah. In fact, the president just signed a new executive order to protect religious liberties and says under his watch, there's, you know, no Christians are going to be persecuted.
Well, that's the Johnson Amendment, where you know it was Senator, I believe, Lyndon Johnson, that got this thing on in 1957 called the Johnson Amendment that basically locked up a narrative saying that if you are a Christian organization, you cannot express yourself politically. And he committed to do that. He signed that executive order and said, we will not prosecute, to back off. You know, it's not clear to the point where it says, just knock it off. But it's a very exciting, a lot of leaders are very excited
about
it.
They're encouraged by it. They believe it's the first step and there's more to come. And I believe it.
Yeah, well, we had Franklin Graham that's behind it. You had other...
Jack Graham.
Jack Graham that's behind it. The leaders of the First Baptist, or the Southern Baptist Association was there. And it's exciting to see it take place. And these are answer to prayers. But we have to, you know, when you see an advancing army, basically, and you see things taking place, you don't just sit back and watch it. You move forward. You begin to speak it out. You begin to agree with it. You know, victory comes when we say we move into the victory. You literally got to move into the victory. So I want to encourage you.
Can't sit on the sidelines.
Don't sit back and watch it on TV. You know, what you hear on TV is marching orders to go out and get involved.
That's right.
In what's going on and show support for those who stand up for our country, for Constitution, and for God. Oh, my goodness. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity, God, to be around to watch the fulfillment of so many prophetic words. We pray for our president and protection over him. We thank you for this new executive order stopping the Johnson Amendment, trying to mute the church and Christians in the land. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the White House being open to you now in regards to prayer in the White House, God. We thank you for Greg Laurie and all the things that you're doing. We thank you for our unofficial field reporter in Jerusalem and Israel, Father God, Naphtali, God. And we just pray for our viewers that you would bless them, encourage them, Father God. And we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion in this land, that you would send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless. Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing, and he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life, and it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures, and there it is, and like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
It was so cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God. And by alone with God, mm-hmm. and you all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them. Yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though, to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org.